All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Will Josh giddy up as he drops to the cup? Will Luzada play harder for last year's runners-up? Will Magnay's got his sights on the NBA? But will Bryce be an Aussie? He's gonna stay. We love Space Jam double-doubles and four-point shots from Bubbles. The Great Dane and Mitch and Lamar across the ditch. The Hawks signed a bloke named Justinian. And next year, we'll love the Tasmanian.
Brace for the puns and dad jokes. It's time for the Basketball Blokes.
G'day, listeners. You're back with Benny, Banksy, and Boydie, the basketball blokes, doing all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. And what a season it's been.
Yeah, it's still going. And lockdown locks was some 10 months ago, and we're still in the same season. Can you believe it? And still once again, we're locked down. And just to pile on my misery, we had our first finals games this week. I think I mentioned it last week that I was coming up against Zach Hammond, who is sixth in the entire universe, currently up to fourth in the entire universe after finishing 14th for the week. If I'm going to lose to someone, I'm happy for it to be Zach. I think that's a pretty good excuse. But, man, the one that really stings me, Experts League, Tommy Hirsch's self-declared Experts League, head-to-head with Tommy. He went Landale captain, and I had Machado captain, so looking really good early on. And he pipped me by about 25-odd points in the end, so I had a 12-point lead heading into this game.
Ouch.
And Landale sitting in the third quarter at the start. It was getting a bit exciting. I was up ahead. I was ahead right until the last quarter, and then he ran away with it with Machado and big Nate Jawai, who was my big risk. Threw everything at Tommy this week, but he was just too good. But it hurts even more.
It does.
It's because okay. I'm a sicko. Like, I went through.
It's natural.
I actually couldn't watch the game of the round, which was the Melbourne United and Sydney Kings game, because I can't watch a game where I'm just barracking against someone. I have to have someone to barrack for. And I was a barrack against Landale, and I couldn't watch. I turned it off in the fourth quarter because it was getting closer, and in my head, I'd called overtime. And it just so happened that it went to double overtime, and Jock Landale as captain and Mitch McCarron had a total of 40 fantasy points in those overtimes, which cost me the game. Gave Jock the double-double and cost me the game. So,
How was the savage response, Bernie, from Tommy, though? When you pointed this fact out that you're going to lose by 20-odd and 40 points was gained by Landale and Macca in OT. And he said, next time, it's got nothing to do with luck.
Don't feel unlucky. Just pick the right players. And and to be honest, I was was fairly savage. And Tommy's in the final of that now, that league. And it was just a really tough situation because I went to Adelaide boys last week. So I had to trade both of them. And Tommy, who's an expert at leagues, he's been running this league for quite some time, and we're happy to be a part of it. He'd loaded up on Brizzy boys from way out, and he'd set himself up perfectly for all this. So that's kind of where I was stuffed. But I think you guys outscored me this week as well. But we've got our three Patreon leagues. And Boydie, you're going through to one of the finals, mate.
Yeah, it looks like it. I got the lucky matchup, I think, of the final so far. I think next week I'm in a bit of trouble. But
Up against?
Next week I'll be up against, looks like Neverending Story. Which is,
okay.
They scored 915 for this round, so they're like...
Who's coach there?
Michael Cleary.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yep.
And talk about that game that the never-ending story had.
That game, that's one. Well, at the moment, he's sitting in the win at 9:15 against Leto's Legends at 9:05. So 10 points. separate them pre-adjustments.
Will there be adjustments? Any. Will they do it?
There was huge adjustments last week because I remember we'll go back. We were celebrating Banksy getting top bloke. I don't want to take this away from him after the birth of Isla. And we celebrated the birth of Isla and him being top bloke. But actually, I was top bloke after the adjustments.
It was a massive swing, though, wasn't it? We're not just talking 5 or 10 points.
Yeah, I think Sam.
I think it was something like a 50-plus point swing.
Yeah, because I think I had Sam Froling and he went up a bunch, and then a couple of like people went back a little bit too. It was a bit all over the shot, to be honest. But
huge swing though.
I mean, yeah, I can't really complain about losing when I didn't get anywhere near 905 points. But if I got 905 points this round, I'm probably in the top 30 for the week, and yep. Lato's Legends still got pipped. But once again. I'd love to ask you, Banksy, you haven't made the finals in the leagues, but have you enjoyed the leagues this season?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I just think, you know, particularly for teams like mine that just aren't in contention for the, you know, the overall rankings, it just gives you that secondary go-to when you're watching the game. So just adds that extra edge and really enjoyed it. Actually really looking forward to taking it to a, you know, next level next season as well.
Beautiful. So what we're going to do is a bit of a recap on the NBL awards and just get our little predictions for our little fantasy filler this week. And we'll start off with your boy, Banksy. Rookie
should
of the
make
year,
me feel good.
Predicted to finish in the top three of the point guards and finished number one, Josh Giddey. Good season.
Amazing season. And I think it was maybe a little bit scoffed at in those preseason predictions. But as you've put here, Giddey was... you know, LaMelo-esque type season, particularly fantasy-wise, wasn't he?
Yeah, and there'll be no competition as far as the Rookie of the Year goes this season, so that's good. Somewhere where there will be a little bit of competition, I think Boydie is the most improved player, and it came down to a race between two men last year. Do you remember who those guys were?
I can remember because I can read them on my screen, Benny, if you like. Dame Pino and Will Two-Way Magnay.
That's right. So
MVP, no.
On basketballblokes.com, you can go through and we put the prior year fantasy averages for the players and with as long with the differential. And it just so happened that I guess fantasy was indicative of real life awards. And the Dame Pino and Will Magnay were that had the two biggest increases in fantasy points in that season. And they were the two that were dueling it out. And this season, we've got two other standouts, Banksy. We've got Sam Froling and Jordan Hunter, who have, with Jordan Hunter increasing his fantasy average by 25 points and Sam Froling increasing it by 22 points. But I think we're all in agreement that we're still leaning to Sam Froling on this award.
I think we are, because it's two different, those two players coming from two different perspectives, because you had Jordan Hunter only averaging 4 points a game last season, so pretty much coming from nothing to get up to that 30 average, where Sam Froling did average almost 15 points fantasy points a game last season, but he pushed to that point where you're actually starting him on your court. I had him in this last round. Boydie had him in the round before, as he pushed just over that 37 fantasy point per game mark.
Yeah, and I think with this one, it's a real, like, fantasy is a bit indicative, but I think it real world. You know, Sam Froling started every game, I think, for the Hawks this season. He's played big minutes. He's been a focal point. Whereas Hunter didn't start off starting the year, but did he? But he was only starting because of injury for part of it and then or wasn't. And so I think just from the start, I think Froling sort of had a bit of a run there, and I think his results have been better, even though
I haven't looked at it, but
it might not be the same.
I'd like to look at Sam Froling, what he averaged in the first half of the season versus the second half, because I think particularly over the last few weeks, just really enjoyed watching him. And, you know, fantasy-wise, I know last round, although I'm out of the contention both in the leagues and the overall rankings, but really enjoyed having that sort of Froling and Tyler Harvey combo in my team.
Well, he's averaging 43 over his last five, so that's a bit of an indicative. That's six above his average, 47 over the last three games. So that's
important.
10 over his average pretty much for the last couple of rounds. So,
yeah. Beautiful. So Froling from all of us, be interesting to see which way it pans out. I think he has separated from Jordan Hunter in the end. Defensive Player of the Year. Now, there was a few candidates I guess wing players in Simon, Abercrombie and Sunday Deck, but I think we've all come down to one. But when you think of defensive players of the year, like we obviously had Bogut as a big man, but in the last decade, all the rest have been that lockdown defender type. So we have Damian Martin with six, Lish, Torrey Craig, Newbern last year. So
Martin with six. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was just doing the same thing.
Yeah. So it does tend to favour the on-ball defender, but we have to give Humphreys a shout-out. I mentioned Bogut won Defensive Player of the Year. In that year, Bogut averaged 11.75 rebounds and 2.75 blocks. Man, what Hump was doing at the start of this year, if you can get his game log up and look at the amount of blocks, that run he went on from about week three, but during his healthy games at the start of the year, he was averaging 9 boards and nearly 3.5 blocks per game. And most importantly, calling them out that he got more in the coverage.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say how many were missed because he pointed it out, didn't he?
Yeah. His first 10 games or so were 1-3. These are all blocks. 1-3-5-7-4-2-4-6-2-1-2.
Like six.
You can your decent fantasy score just in blocks.
That's right. Like it was incredible. So shout out to Hump. Obviously, he's not going to get it.
Only 19 games played, which unfortunately is probably not going to get him off the line. But
yeah,
we get a full healthy season out of him next year.
It kind of has fluctuated between Sunday, Abercrombie, and Simon. Before I go into some of the numbers, just love you sort of just with, I guess, off the top of the head, who do you have out of those guys?
Simon for me.
Banks?
Abercrombie did the job for like a couple of rounds in a row, and we know he's a solid defender and, well, above solid, really. But no standouts, whereas I think, you know, Simon's had a few of those games where he's had 4 or 5 steals in a game and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's been ever since Dinger Dell left, that's when the conversation was over. Simon came in to get those more minutes and he leads the league in steals by a considerable margin, and also leads Sunday Deck and Abercrombie in blocks per game and rebounding. So all those key sort of elements that you see. The Hawks are obviously a very good defense as well as a team, so I think that's helped. And we remember what Gorgian promoted him as when he came into the season. Why was Simon signed by the Hawks? He was exactly right. He was the cotton stopper. And I went through looked at Cotton's box score just to see what he was averaging, how many points he averaged against the team, and the Hawks were the only team he didn't average 20 points per game against. So,
interesting.
I would say that he has done his job in that regards. And per Spatial Jam, I went through some of the advanced analytical stats and looked at net defensive rating. And what you can do there is you can pair Justin Simon up with his other 4 starting counterparts in Ogilvy, Jessup, Simon, Harvey and Froehling. And as you can see, we're looking at a graph here, it's bright green, how much better than the team's average. Being on the court with Justin Simon makes all of these other guys. So it's, I think it's quite unanimous, whatever way you look at that, from a defensive player of the year standpoint. Six man, fellas, really tough. No standout this season, I'd argue. We had KD win it last year. The problem is, firstly, I think the teams have to nominate who their sixth man would be. So obviously it makes sense that you can't have a sixth man from each team, like, because that'd be the sixth and seventh man, wouldn't it? So, just a few names that you like in the list that I kind of put together, fellas.
I think United's the standout, obviously Hobson and JLA, but now you've just told me that information. That's going to be tough to pick out of those two if they've only got to put one forward.
Is there anyone else there?
If I was to pick out of those two, I think JLA's been more consistent over the course of the season.
Hobson's missed a couple of games as well. He's only played 25 so far compared to JLA's 32. So that's got a thing. I think the Sam Phoenix guys, Adnam and Ben Moore, one of those guys, even Moller from Sydney and Hunter. But
Moller's a good one.
I wonder how many games you're allowed to start, because there'll be
so true.
Yeah, if you've started too many games, like, then you're going to rule out Adnam possibly because he played, he's filled in there while Sykes was out. Moller, even Hunter.
More started some games as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
This is the problem with this award this year is that it was really difficult to see someone who didn't play at least like a third of the season as a starter based on injuries. So
is Jack McVay? Does his name get put up there? Because he's had some impact coming off the bench.
He would be Adelaide's definite nominee, 100%. But I'd say that both... I would actually argue that he just never got the opportunities. I'd argue he could have had a good a season as Hobson did. I'm with Banksy. For me, it's JLA. I think he should be sixth man of the year. And a little bit of that comes to with expectations, I think, because we all feel that like Hobson's had a down year. So to me, and JLA's almost probably next in line for one of those most improved spots that we looked at. So I think that plays a part in my mind.
Just on JLA, I was watching the game tonight. You know, it's just finished half an hour ago. Do you think if he had a little bit of a change in attitude, he could be just something really special?
What, pass the ball?
Well,
what are you getting at?
He seems to complain a lot, and he like always gets called for a foul and always looks around like, oh, what do you mean, you know? Like, I don't know. I just don't think – and he doesn't seem to get – I don't know. He just doesn't seem to – I'm not sure that he has a – I don't know, whether it's a team philosophy or whatever about him. I'm not sure. He just doesn't seem like he's there for maybe the right reasons.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, I think –
it's very Boyd-esque.
Yeah.
He's got less text.
I mean, if he takes after his coach, I mean, could that potentially be the complaining influence and stuff like that?
He doesn't play for Perth, Boyd.
If you've got someone in your ear saying, he fouled him.
Yeah, look, I don't know. There's just something about the attitude that doesn't sit with me, really.
Well, there you go. It's an interesting take. I think he'll be sixth man of the year. Corey Webster, I think he's been out too long and also had a down year as well. Wagstaff would be the obvious option for Perth, and just got to shout him out because he's going to, I don't know, tie or break the game's record with Sean Redditch this weekend. So
that miss layup's going to cost him.
We're very happy with that as Sam supporters over here. The big one, fellas, MVP. Now, it's basically a head-to-head clash between Mooney and Cotton. Now,
hey, what about Jock?
No way. Jock hasn't even, it's not even close.
JLA's probably as close.
Benny's noticed my smile. He did see my smile on that.
Yeah. So I'd love to know where Wildcats fans fall on this, but we're going to look at it as, I guess, neutral. Oh, geez, I guess we can't call Banksy neutral on Mooney. But, fellas, Boydie, can you start? Give us your answer first. And tell us a little bit about it, and then Banksy, you jump in.
Well, Banksy's going to think I'm ripping him off here because he came onto our little Skype chat after we talked this a little bit already. But I think Cotton. I just think his impact on the game. I think with a thing like MVP, I know Mooney's stats probably suggest maybe that he should be, but stats is something, but real life and real impact is what I think an MVP is about. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, he's won more games for them off his own back. And you know, Mooney's a good defender as well, but Cotton's defence sometimes as well, you know, keeps them in games and wins them games and all that sort of stuff as well.
Lots of good fouls called in him, that's for sure. Banks, add to this conversation. Who would you choose?
Look, I really think we need to send John Mooney some form of fantasy MVP.
Next week.
And look, you probably think I would say Mooney would be the overall MVP, but I think Boardy's actually spot on with this one. It's very, very tight, I feel, but it's the impact
ridiculously tight.
That the MVP has on games. And even though Mooney has amazing stats, like you said, I mean, Cotton could actually have down games where he does literally bugger all in the first three quarters. And you know in the fourth quarter when the game is on the line, he has been bringing it. And I think that's what the MVP is about. So, like, you know, almost like Dame time. He just has this season just been bringing it in that fourth quarter and winning Perth games. And I think that's what the MVP is about, is that X factor and the player that can win you the game in that fourth quarter.
And I think also because I feel like his citizenship's been very poorly handled, having been not approved after 7 years, that we should, you know, as the Australian people should get behind him and
just give him another MVP.
Give him this MVP for that, for our piss farting around, basically.
Look, I'm going to make a little bit of a statistical an argument for Mooney. So it's good you guys have talked about the other side. And I'll just ask you, given that you've got that stance, does the fact that he's injured now likely won't take part in any of the finals or anything else like that? It probably shouldn't impact you. But Mooney comes out and carries them to first without Cotton. How does that change your mind?
Well, Mooney would win the finals MVP then, wouldn't he?
No, carry them to first this round.
This round.
Oh, they beat Melbourne.
I don't
Mooney's
think so.
Huge.
It's no, one round.
Think it's Cotton.
And I think, don't quote me on the exact round. I know that you mentioned, Benny, when we were looking at these awards, if there was any sort of outside of statistical data, if there was any odds actually out there on who was the leading candidates
could not
for
find
these
any,
awards. But I did notice, I actually had a look a few weeks back, there was a market. I don't know what round it exactly was at, but Cotton, I believe, was $1.10 at that stage.
Correct. Yeah, there was one point of the season. And we do have a bit of recency bias. You've got to factor that out. And I think everyone's right. If it was the 3-2-1 style Brownlow, I think it would be Mooney because he's getting the two or three votes every single game. The thing with Bryce, he's done it before, and this is his weakest supporting cast by far, I think. Like when everyone's expecting the missed finals and the like. I've gone the advanced stats side of things, though, and looked at John Mooney on Spatial Jam as well. If you look at their net rating, so which is a net offensive rating and defensive rating combined, John Mooney is a better performer than Bryce Cotton analytically. And I just – people can't be mad if John Mooney does get it, I don't think, because he's basically having the Andrew Bogut season – from 2 years ago, which was obviously an incredible fantasy season. But if we look at the numbers, basically averaging the same amount of rebounds, only half an assist less, where Bogut had the advantage was on the blocks, but Mooney's averaging more steals, less turnovers, and 6 points a game more than what Bogut did in that time. So it is a genuine toss-up. This is a precedent to go by when last time Cotton was beaten was by a big man in Bogut. And I think that just have to realise how special this John Mooney season has been. Now, something that's really cool as well. So Bogut averaged 62.1 fantasy points for his years in that season, the King Legend season, as we called it. Mooney needs exactly 100 fantasy points this round to overtake Bogut and get above 62.1 fantasy.
I hope he bloody gets it, Boydie. I hope he bloody gets it.
So
he's averaging 53 average last five. So you'd think.
So Boydie, what does he need to average under 40 still?
Oh, it was 30, wasn't it?
Just to take a step on the court and then walk off again.
Negative something else. But yeah, so 99.6 gets him the exact same average. So if he gets 99 points, Bogut is still the King Legend.
You blokes wouldn't let me get him in my fantasy team, you know, for the sake of the pod for, what, 8 rounds. And
yeah,
then,
I know.
What I would have been in the top 10, I reckon, if I'd done that early. But anyway.
We did hold. It was a sticker.
Still looking good for top bloke of the year. Still,
yes, so, you've got that in the bag.
Despite, you know, purposely surrendering my performance.
And we all know that was because he didn't have Mooney when Perth lost all their games and didn't get average, and you won't start down there. All right.
I think one final thing we should say on that call as well, Benny, with Mooney and Cotton for MVP, is just watching some of Cotton's recent games. He gets double teamed. He's got teams that have, as you said, gone out and purely gone after players like Simon to stop Cotton this season. Mooney doesn't get those double teams. And what, as you said, Cotton has done with this Perth outfit, I think, has been nothing short of amazing. So that's why it's Cotton for me.
All right. We are all in agreement with our all NBL first team, which has two inside players and three outside players.
Yep.
Read them out for us.
Well, Mooney and you think Jock's the other big that his name gets thrown in there as the two inside players. And then you've got Cotton, who we just spoke about, Sobey, who was having absolute jet year, has eased off over the last few rounds or couple of rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other one name gets thrown up there is Harvey. New import for our league has just come in. And you know what? Harvey's one of those players. I love watching him.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Hard to argue.
It's interesting. And, like, people will get, I guess, a bit concerned because they'll think, oh, there's no wing player there. Normally we've had Lamar Patterson, Scott Hobson, you know, JP Tokoto, Demetrius Konga, one of these guys that have been a dominant wing in the last few years. So
missed that guy.
Did he make the first team?
I miss him.
There you go.
He was stunk for a little while, didn't he?
Defensive jet.
Yeah, but his fantasy scores were terrible to start off with.
It doesn't matter.
Come good.
That's it. So that's, I guess, all of our award winners. So
right, let's get on the real stuff.
Yep. Let's quickly walk through the schedule and talk about who some people might be playing in the grand final, like Boydie.
All right. We've got no Dr. Boyd's injury wrap-up this week, it looks like, because
they're only Cairns players.
Dr. Boyd hasn't been handed his injury sheet. But
they're only Cairns players, and you're not bringing them in. So.
Irrelevant.
So we've got Adelaide and Cairns on singles. We've got Brisbane and Sem on triples, and all the other teams are on doubles, basically. So it's a pretty open thing. Obviously, Adelaide had the single this week as well. So if you've got any carryover Adelaide players, you want to be getting rid of those guys. And Cairns is the interesting one. Just come off the triple. Lots of teams with Scotty Mack there. So you're thinking Machado's an out?
Yeah, if you can. I'm going to have to make a choice because I had to load up to try and beat Tom unsuccessfully with my Cairns duo.
So what's your choice there?
So I've actually still got Brandon Paul as well. So it'll be,
that's right.
Whammy.
Yeah.
You know the tough thing, guys, this round. Kept
freak, but yeah, anyway.
Tough thing this round isn't so much the schedule, but I think it's also as much about what teams still have something to play for and something beyond our control is what players will play limited minutes or get rest in prior to finals as well. That's always a tough thing in the last round.
Great point. And the season will finish on the 8th of June.
Tuesday. Yep. Tuesday next week.
Southeast Melbourne versus Brisbane. Mm-hmm. Could be a finals decider. We don't know. It just depends.
I hope so.
How the season goes. But just Banksy, the 8th of June marks exactly 1 year to the day we recorded our pre-agency podcasts for NBL 21. So, and posted
free agency
later. It was, pre-agency, we called them. Pre-free agency. So, 12 months and in what will total 50 podcasts next week when we wrap this all up. So, it's been a long slog. But
so, shout out to the listeners out there that are still listening. Hopefully, you know, you're here and you've been here from 8th of June last year.
Yeah,
I just feel next season's just going to be, this has been it was a real, obviously, drawn-out preseason as the season got pushed back with COVID. But I just feel at this stage, potentially the next season could be, could come around a lot quicker, and therefore our preseason will feel a lot more rushed because we had so much time with this preseason before we actually got games.
Yeah, so good luck to three of the top four in the overall rankings who are Patreon supporters. Good luck this week.
And so, Benny, before we go ahead, we haven't mentioned it too much over the past couple of weeks, but does the number one in the overall rankings have it tied up heading into this final round?
No.
We
mean Boardy checked this out. Denham.
He's got a handy lead.
132 points.
132. Has narrowed because he didn't bring Machado in this week.
Sets him up. That sets him up for this week, though, doesn't it?
So he's held Creek, he's held Mooney, he's held a few good players, but they're going to be very similar sides in the end, first and second, and captain's choice, Banksy, could be a big decider. So why don't we get into that?
And now it's time for Banksy's captains. It's not Benny or Boydy, so please don't at them. It's Banksy's choice, so he's in trouble. If his number one choice doesn't double!
No pressure.
And I guess this kind of blends in with our trades this week as well, doesn't it? So just to quickly, I guess, cover off last week, just to toot my own trumpet, I feel we're kind of finishing strong with captains. I think I got the captain's quinella last week with Machado and Harvey being the top two scorers for the round. Got to tip my hat to you, though, Boyd. You really highlighted Harvey as I was doing my captains based on his previous opponents, so well done there.
And yes, Denham, who we just spoke of, went with Harvey.
Oh, yes.
As yeah. So how ballsy is that?
I made the mistake of going Macca instead of Harvey, to be honest, but anyway, moving right along.
I think one thing it did show us last round, though, is just particularly when you're in these finals matchups or you're at the pointy end of the overall rankings, there is just sometimes it can pay to play the safety of a triple over a double, and maybe that is the way to go as well. So obviously this final round, we've got just the two teams on the triple being Sem and Brisbane. Looking at the matchups, obviously, Benny, you mentioned that last game between Sem and Brisbane could potentially decide the way the ladder ends up, but they do play each other twice. So one home for the Phoenix and one over in Brisbane there as well. Outside of that, the Phoenix play New Zealand in an away game, so I don't know if there's any travel factor there, Dr. Boyd, and Brisbane have an away game in Sydney as well. I don't think I'm going to go with a 1-2-3 as such. I think we should just play it safe, just probably mention the options that we're definitely looking at, because, again, it's just going to come down to where you see teams winning and, as I said earlier, as to what teams later on in the round actually still have something to play for. But as we mentioned, I think the big ones there just that are really relevant is the Melbourne and Perth teams, who's going to lock in that home advantage, who's going to finish top of the ladder. So Perth play the first game of the round tomorrow night against the Illawarra Hawks. So if the Hawks get up, and they've been running hot, if they get up, I think therefore Perth, you know, looking at Mooney being on the double, always got to be in consideration, of course. But if Perth win, if Perth lose that game tomorrow night against the Hawks, well, what happens in that second game that's over in Perth against United? Will Mooney get a rest? He's played every game this season. Gleeson's been playing in maximum minutes most games. He's probably played, you know, a good 5 minutes less more recently per game. But, you know, they're in a good spot to, if there's nothing to play for, why don't you rest Mooney that game, make sure he's cherry ripe heading into finals. So I'm just going to flag that, firstly. That
you know
that
what that Mooney... sounds like, Banksy? Mm-hmm. A Will Magnay game.
Oh, that's, you know, interesting.
Well, it's just the other side of the equation. Why not give Magnay more minutes if there's nothing to play for? So
you've there's a ridiculous stat there as well that, I don't know if it's how many minutes or how many games that Magnay's gone with actually... without actually scoring a field goal as well. So it would be nice to for Magnay to get a good game under his belt with large minutes heading into finals for them, knowing that Cotton's out. I guess the other one, or the other big one, is the two teams more relevantly on the triple. What is there? Three teams playing for that last playoff spot. So you've got Phoenix sitting in fourth at the moment.
Let's go.
And my understanding, guys, is they only need one win to lock in that fourth spot, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Brisbane plays Sydney later on in the week, so one of those teams will have a win, have a loss, sorry. So we got percentage on them. One win. Should have been against Cairns the last game.
Mm-hmm.
But, alas, we'll see how that goes.
They've got Sydney one game behind, but also percentage, but they're only obviously got the two games this week. So exactly as you say, one of those teams, be it Brisbane or Sydney, are going to eliminate themselves in that game alone. Mm-hmm. So we really, you know, looking at our captains, depending on who you're going to go with, we really want Phoenix to lose that first game, which obviously you boys won't want to happen. So, you know, for what it's worth, to have an exciting round fantasy-wise, we really want Brisbane to beat Phoenix in that first matchup on the Wednesday, and that kind of keeps our captains alive as we go through the round, knowing there's still something to play for, particularly from a Brisbane perspective. You know, when you're looking at your Sobeys and your Pattersons, well, are they going to have anything at all to play for in those latter two games of the three? So just quick special mentions, I guess. So depending on where you're situated, whether there's anything to go for on the overall rankings, if you're a team like mine that's ranked in the 300s, well, then I might look at a unique captain option just to try and claim the, you know, climb the ranks this week. So you've got some special mentions. Hodgson, coming off a 44 and a 46. He was mentioned last week as a trade-in option with the triple around the corner. So he's averaged 40 over his last five. Another one from the Phoenix, Pretzel, is actually averaging pretty much the same, 39 over his last five games. skewed a little bit by a one-off larger score of almost 70 there in his last five as well. Got nothing to lose, but as I said, if your rank stinks like mine, by all means, there is an option to take a punt there with a unique. We've covered off Mooney, but if you're in finals like Boardy, then listen up. These are the safer options we'd obviously be looking at. So in no particular order, just based on what we've gone off. Sobey, his matchup this season, so got the Phoenix and Sydney. Numbers against Phoenix, 36, a 57, and a 34. And he seems to love playing Sydney. So let's hope that is still alive come that second game. 57, 65, and 53
are
his scores against Sydney. As you said earlier, he has been a little bit down, but I just feel they did find their form that last game, particularly against Cairns. And I just think while there's still a mathematical chance, hopefully that can be said later on in the round, Sobey is just one of those guys. He can put this team on his back and ball out across the box score. So definitely in contention. Obviously, the other one we've got to mention there is Patterson. I feel he's been building. We know he's been, you know, had a well below his standard season, similarly to a Hobson, for example. But I just feel he's been building, coming off scores of 45 and 46. His minutes seem to be trending up as well while they're still in contention. Hasn't played this week's opponents overly much. So he's played two games against the Phoenix for 49 and 28. And Sydney's only played the once this season for a 24. But I'm not going to pay too much attention to that. More his recent form. And the other one we're going to look at would be your team's, Mitch Creek. He's obviously got Brisbane twice in New Zealand. Brisbane scores of 46, 40, and 39. Pretty consistent again with New Zealand, 41, 48, and 30. Average of 41 a game for Creek on this week's opponents, averaging 40 a game over his last three as well. I mean, that's probably going to be a safe bet. You want Creek firing heading into finals. And, you know, if he's going to average that 40 as he has against them earlier in the season, that's going to give you a pretty safe 120 over the triple there. I just think from what we learned this round, with more so going for someone as your captain on the triple. Remember, Machado had that 80 in game one last round. And I think we all felt, I think all three of us actually captained Machado last round as well. I felt pretty safe knowing that just after that one big game, although you had teams to come that were on the double, we'd already locked in the best captain of the round. His latter two games are pretty average based on his fantasy scores. But, you know, if you've got three cracks at it, you only need your captain to go fairly big in one of those games, and you've almost locked it in over a guy on the double. So if you're in finals, if you're in one of those grand finals like Boardy, I would highly recommend you going a Craig Sobey, and maybe a slightly more unique Patterson, one of those big three.
All right. Well, that pretty much sums up all our trade targets and everything as well. Banksy, you've done a good job there.
Well done.
Is there anything outside those guys, Benny, that have been spoken about that you're thinking of trade-ins at the moment?
No, I think Sykes. That if you're in a final, you match up on your depends. Kiefer Sykes is probably one of the players I'll be bringing in. And Sykes and Hodgson are both have less than 400 ownership. So that's something that I'll be looking at. Maybe not for captaincy.
Is Ben Moore the ultimate risky biscuit?
Goodness. I mean, if Creek rests or something along those lines, you're kind of barracking against your own team in a lot of ways for that to pay off.
Sam supporter, yeah.
Has Wetzel had the edge lately over him, though?
Yes, he has.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he's been pretty good.
He's probably as unique as you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely a trade target. He's not unique on the ownership statistics because everyone had him at the start, and all the people that have quit probably still have him, so it's hard to tell how many live teams still have him. But yeah, one of those things. I think the Sem and Brisbane boys, you can't really go at Drumick or a BJ Johnson or anything else
any of the smalls. You'd go one of the bigs if you're going to go take a risky like Hodgson or
double threat, really.
Yeah, Pretzel, that's what you're after.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
And look, if you're in one of these grand finals, where you can have a look at your opponent.
Absolutely.
Base your trades on who they don't have and who they're unlikely to have. So that's what I'd be attacking, is someone unique that your opponent, if you're in a grand final, doesn't have.
Don't mind that. All right. I think that pretty much gives us everything. Obviously, we'll be back some stage next week after the year's done and dusted to wrap it up nicely. At this stage, not looking like we're going to be able to go in the same room, which is not good.
Okay.
But hopefully we might be able to make it at a good time where we can have a couple of green teas at the same time. While
we could always record at a park.
Oh, well. That's only by chance if we were all to happen to be at the same park at the same time, which would be an absolute fluke, obviously.
Jogging 1.5 meters.
The same route.
I think it's pronounced yarging, actually.
It'd have to be under 2 hours, too. Short.
Yeah, we're not selling this really well.
What can you do?
But until next week, always, as you can get us on at @bball_blokes, we'll try and do our best. If there's any questions that come in over the in before the games or the round starts next week, we can do our best to get them. But we're not 100% guaranteeing that we can get there and get responses. Obviously, we've got Facebook Basketball Blokes, or number one source of NBL fantasy information, basketballblokes.com. Until next week. Good luck
to those chasing the overall ranking, chasing that 5K. Remember, there's a big prize on the line.
Yeah, Denim.
Let's get behind Denim. Get it done,
Patreon. Well, how many, Benny, you looked it up. How many Patreons we got in the top five? Three in the top five?
Three in the top four.
Three in the top four, even. Oh, there we go.
We had Nick Turner
last season.
In contention going to the last round last season. Yep. Then we've got Denim this season.
So shout out to those guys. We'll be rooting for y'all. For that top prize.
If Aaron Colley just happens to listen to us, get in touch with us because we'd like to know if we had the top five. I know we were barracking for Nick Hard last season. Turned out Tom was listening to us the whole time as well. So anyway.
That'll be good to know as well. Sure, his team name Dolphin Accounting. So he's, you know, obviously someone might be very similar ilk to Benny and I. So until next week. Good luck to all the grand finalists out there in your leagues games. Good luck to Denim, Jason, and Zach in the overall. And there's still a few that are sort of within a QE if they pull a rabbit out of the hat. So good luck.
Save us a voucher, Boyd. You better get up in your league too.
Yeah, come on, boy. You can do it. Am I the only one that can save a voucher for us?
Yes.
Well, that's convenient, seeing as I'm the only one that hasn't won a voucher this year, aren't I?
Yeah, you are us.
We'll be even.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask. I think Julian's won about his 18th one for today, so it's on today's game day. So I was actually going to ask him if he could donate one to me. But anyway,
you can do it.
Till next week. Cheers, y'all.